You mentioned it, like if this was a bucket and you, and some people, I think they fill it up with just all different things and they're not sure which is sand. They just fill it up with sand, bro. Filling up with sand, all the different specks represent different things. But I think if you get the rocks, which are the big core things, put them in first, you can fit the sand around it. It's important. They're important for you for life, but the rocks are the main stability for your relationships and who you are as a person. Yeah. So for me, I emptied all that out, went back to the start, put my rocks in there.
In 1837, Horace Mann created the education system, a system at the time designed to pump out factory workers and professors, the same system that is still being used today in the 21st century. Now, Mann's system is backfiring. We are being molded by the same industrial system that has existed for close to 200 years. That system delivers us into a digital economy that has no need of our outdated skills. This isn't our teachers' fault. This isn't the government's fault. This is due to a rapidly changing world full of technology and unforeseen circumstances. And us Gen Zs are caught in the middle. Welcome to the Driven Young Podcast, the podcast for stressed, overwhelmed young Australians, teaching you practical life skills you can implement now to set yourself up in life. And now your host, Byron Dempsey.
Welcome back to the Driven Young Podcast, and today I'm joined by an absolute legend, Benny Crook. Last year, I dislocated my shoulder playing goalkeeper in a five-a-side game, and Ben was one of the amazing nurses who knocked me out and put my shoulder back in. Whilst I was high on drugs, we bonded over the fact that we both have a podcast, so I invited him onto my show. We recorded an episode many months ago, and it was amazing, but sadly, I lost the footage. I was gutted, but decided to re-invite him on the show, and it was an amazing chat, just like the last one. Ben is a clinical nurse educator with over 10 years experience working in emergency departments. He runs a podcast called EdJam, which is a medical podcast aimed at doctors, nurses, and paramedics. He is a motivated individual with a heart for getting to try and encourage those around him to teach others. Ben's energy is through the roof, and he is a living and breathing example of being driven young. This will be an invaluable episode for anyone in the medical field or thinking about entering the medical field, but also such an inspiring episode for anyone else as well. As per usual, please DM me on Instagram and please, please, please DM Ben. If you have never messaged someone from a podcast, please message Ben. One message will make his entire week. He lives to help people, and I know it would mean the world to him if you messaged him. Make sure you sign up to my 20-week challenge if you haven't already. All the links to everything I do are in the description as usual. Stay young, stay driven. Now, over to Benny Boy.
Benny, welcome back.
Thanks,
to the
dude.
Podcast.
You stoked to be here again.
We recorded this episode, what, like 8 months ago?
Yeah.
And then I lost the footage somehow.
It's all
so
good.
Apologize about that. But it was such a good episode. I was so gutted when I lost the footage. And I didn't want to get you back on straight away because I didn't want to just repeat everything without the authenticity because I just don't want to say the same stuff. Like, I don't get the same reaction.
Yeah,
so it's been long enough now. I think I've forgotten a bit of it and I'm coming in almost fresh. But you're a healthcare worker.
Yep.
You have been for a long time. You do a lot of stuff outside of that. You're very passionate about what you do. And it's quite like that book behind you, 18
yep.
and Lost.
Yep.
So I wrote that book.
I've got it at home, actually.
You've got it. Yeah,
yes, I do.
So the example I always use is the doctor example in terms of like, you could have a doctor who's passionate about what they do. They love what they do. Or you could have a doctor who just wants to be called doctor, gets paid well, has high status. They're both qualified.
Yeah.
You can see the difference between one of them. Like this one's probably more likely to burn out. And so it's kind of very relevant to what you do because you talk about how much you love what you do.
Yep.
So this conversation is going to be interesting. We're going to go into healthcare working stuff.
Yep.
Just talk about your life. As per usual, ask the same guest every question at the beginning.
Yep.
And that's what did you do after high school?
Yeah, cool. So after high school, I did sports science at university. So I studied, you know, tried to focus on sort of health, or sort of just helping people. Loved fitness, loved exercise.
Yeah.
And I did a 3-year degree in sport and exercise science, which was cool. I sort of was wanting to progress on to physiotherapy, being a goal to help people. Loved watching sport as a kid. Mm. And then I had a bit of a flip change. My younger sister said, hey, let's go travel a little bit, which I think is really important for people. Mm. I think you should do physio, but I really think you should just really see the world a bit.
Mm. Before you like settle down.
Before I settled down, you know, I was going to do physio. I'd got into doing physiotherapy at university, sort of a pre, you know, early sort of entry sort of thing. And then we went traveling to Africa. And that was for me a bit of a change into what I did after high school. So I traveled through Africa and it was awesome. Like it's a beautiful parts of the world in Africa. And that sort of changed my mind a bit about what I wanted to do. And that's been a bit of the driving force for me, why I do what I do.
What did you see in Africa that like had you change your mind?
My sister actually started an orphanage in Malawi in Africa, and the aim was to help underprivileged kids, basically, and to sort of let it self generate its own profit so it could be self sufficient. A lot of poverty. I looked after basically kids with HIV and AIDS, and would you know just look after them, go into their like day in day out, just hold them, hang out with them, play with them, kick a soccer ball with them.
Yeah,
I've never seen like a ball made out of plastic bags before, but it's right. Epic.
Yeah, yeah.
And just enjoy the kids. I think part of a country's personality is in the children. So I was hanging with the kids, and I just realized, wow, I really want to do something to help people. Deliver babies, did all that sort of stuff, and I was like, wow, I think I need to be like really hands on.
Right.
So as soon as I flew back home, I enrolled to be a nurse. I got into university to become a registered nurse.
Wow, that's awesome. And that's why I, because similar to you, like, I'm a big fan of traveling. I think one of the best things you could do when you finish high school is just travel.
Yeah.
Because it's going to help you give perspective on the world and just understand what you want to do with your life. Yep. Not guaranteed, but it's just going to give you a bit more insight into what you might be interested in.
100%.
And so I think, like, imagine if you'd gone straight to Africa.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
That's a good point.
Like, hey, I wonder what differences it would be. What would have happened if you'd gone straight to Africa?
Yeah, and I think it can make you a little bit jaded too. Like you do sort of go, oh, I came home and we talk about culture shock. I got culture shock when I came home.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
I'm like, bro, I was like sleeping on the lounge and I wasn't sleeping in my bed and I wasn't eating properly and I was stuck in this world of like, man, I'm going out with my friends now to eat like heaps of food. And most of the waste is just getting thrown in the bin.
Yeah.
So that was tough, that culture shock. But perspective drives performance. So for me, the perspective shift changed. For me, I'm like, wow, I think I need to really reshift my mind to thinking about what I want to do. Being high energy, a little bit like ADHD kind of dude,
yeah.
I love trauma and loved sort of like wanting to help people in the high intense environment of trauma. So that's where I put my focus into becoming an emergency nurse and working in a trauma center. That was my goal.
Yeah. And so you've been doing that for how long now?
I'm up to 10 or 11 years now. Yeah. Yep. So I'm an educator in emergency. My job is to teach young nurses and older nurses as well, how to work in emergency departments.
Yeah.
And I also case manage traumas at a big trauma center as well.
Yeah. Yep. And you've got your own podcast.
Yeah. So
on like medical.
Yeah. So it's called EDGM. It's a medical podcast. Mm. Basically, I interview people that work in emergency, whether or not they're paramedics, doctors, nurses, and try and keep people up to date, you know, about like overdoses, about anything. You know, recently dropped an episode about a cardiac arrest patient. So I just try and keep regular episodes so people can stay up to date in emergency while they're driving to work and be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I might see that today.
Yep. And so you're obviously very passionate about what you do. I think we'll get into that. There'll be a whole conversation to get into. Yep. But like, how was Africa really the switch where you just went, you know what? I feel very aligned. Being a nurse makes sense. It ticks all my boxes, my values. I value high energy stuff. Yep. I love being under pressure in that environment. Yep. I love helping people.
Yep.
Do you love seeing someone come in broken and leave out fixed sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe that you get a little bit of a God complex too. And
yeah.
To be honest, like sometimes you go, you really want to help people and you do want to be the hero of the story. And I'm being a kid, like running around with a little army gun, wanting to like help people. So I think, I don't know if that's helping, but you know, you want it to be the hero. So I think that's important part of it. I think Africa was a switch for me. I don't think ever, my mum was a nurse, but I never really wanted to take that on. And I think the shift was seeing that stuff and thinking, man, what can I do that actually, I'm going back to sort of like massage, you know, or work on people that have like, you know, hip issues or, you know, issues so they can play a high level sport. And I'm kind of like, man, I think there's a little bit more for me, not for everyone, but for me, I think there's more that I can give.
Yeah.
That was a shift for me, definitely.
In terms of like as a nurse, you can almost save lives. Whereas a physio, you're just kind of enhancing them sort of thing.
And you can do, like I've been involved in multiple times where I've literally done CPR and saved someone's life, shocked them with, you know, and saved their life, given drugs and saved their life.
Yeah. What's that feeling like? Like, and how are you feeling in the moment?
The feeling, you have a lot of, like, I mean, coffee, they talk about having adrenaline, but running a big resource, there's a lot more adrenaline. You feel, like, amazing. But as a clinician, too, you know, myself, I hold myself with a lot of high standards. So you almost feel this sense of, like, lull where you're like, did I do everything right? Like, did I follow all the protocols and did you know, did I miss something? That's my mindset. So it's amazing, but you also think, oh, what's next? So you never just go bang, sweet, it's done, walk out, woo,
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
It's there's this sense of like, oh, hey, it could happen again.
Absolutely.
And I'm into teaching people now, so I'm more like take a step back. I'm like, hey, you push that button.
Yeah,
give that drug. Helping them do it, be with them and guide them. Oh, I'm so nervous. Let's do it together. That's my job now.
Yeah. Yep. And so you specialize in trauma,
yep.
correct? is there a specific reason, and what sort of things you do? And after that, we'll get into, I guess, the meat, like mindset and everything you talk about.
Yeah, for sure. Like now I've just shifted out of trauma just for lifestyle with family. But my a lot of my work was in trauma nursing, and still, you know, it still comes through the door. The reason why is that was the question.
Yeah.
I think the people that come in with traumatic events are generally their most vulnerable state, and I feel like that in that environment I can think clearly. I feel like I give a good, I don't overly stress out. So I feel like I think I'm reasonably calm in those environments. And I feel like that I'm able to work at a higher level and a higher pace in that environment.
Absolutely.
So I feel like I shift up and I lift, and then I'm able to work really well. Because it's not you. Like, if I was running resales with just me, they're not going to live, bro. I need multiple people to work together. And I think that's the key, is the teamwork. It's all teamwork.
Yeah.
And seeing the end result, you know, day five, you've seen a dude that got hit by a car and was almost dead to, you know, maybe they're working on his leg or his hip or his neck, and then 28 days, 30 days, you know, a year later, he's fine.
Yeah.
So I just, yeah, that's so rewarding.
Amazing, man. Well, listen, I'm pumped for this episode.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of things I want to talk about.
Let's do it.
I mean, the first one that kind of links in with what you said is, I think a lot of people want to be a nurse, and here I hear, I want to be a nurse because I want to help people.
Yep.
That's great. But like, again, there's a lot of ways that you could almost argue any job is helping people.
Correct.
And so the way I love how you describe, there's a much deeper thing for you. It wasn't just help people.
No.
I want to go into this. Yes, that's obviously a byproduct. Do you think people who are listening to this, who are interested in going into healthcare, whether as a nurse or whatever, what advice would you give them to figure out if this, because there's so many different avenues you go down. What advice would you give them to help figure out which one they want to go down?
Yeah, that's true. I think in nursing, you've got to be resilience. Mm. It's a really interesting word to use, but you have to be a little bit resilient because you give so much more of yourself than you do, I think, in other. Well, and I'm only speaking from what I've experienced as well. So that's always a caveat.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think to go into nursing, you really do have to care about people. We all know that. But you've got to care beyond when you really don't want to care.
Yeah.
And to people that actively sometimes don't want your care. So people that can be swearing at you, telling you to get staffed.
Mm.
And then you've got to see past that. I think it's a job like no other, if I can say that, in the sense that what you see and hear and experience, it's hard to actually tangibly grab onto it.
Mm.
Almost like sand, it can go through your hands.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the most special moments are the most saddest. Yeah, so sometimes you're the representer back to ED who's, you know, an alcoholic, or the, you know, good example, a child who's passed away and you're with the family. You don't want to experience that again ever, but you do. Mm. So there, you know, it's hard to, for people that want to do it, you definitely have to be some sort of, you've got to have a little bit of dark humor. Like that's just part of it. Like I just did a podcast recently with paramedics and we were laughing the whole way through it. The guy had a cardiac arrest and almost died.
Right.
But we got that, it's that dark humor of, we find in the bad situations, laughing or sometimes making a joke about it so we can deal with it as a person.
Like a coping mechanism.
I do it for coping all the time.
Mm.
Why am I joking about this? It's serious.
Right.
I'm coping.
Otherwise, you're just focusing on negativity the whole time.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in trauma.
Yeah.
It's just constant bad, yep. Which that over a long period of time is going to affect your view of the world.
100%.
You know, is the world just a terrible place where people are constantly having trauma and accidents?
Yes. So I think, and paramedics do it the best, I think. You know, you'll get someone in who's lost a leg and they'll be like, you know, Mr. One Leg, or they'll be
you
know, Mr. Pirate. You know, just in their head, they might say it to you, not to anyone else, but they're just trying to mentally cope with it. Mm. People that want to do it, I really think you should talk to someone who's done it.
Yes, absolutely.
I really think it's silly just to go, oh, it looks good, it fits right, let's do it. Because I don't think that's the right option.
Mm.
I think you've really got to talk to someone and go, what is it like? Try and experience it. Go into the environment and see if they could let you in.
Mm.
Even if it's like, you know, opening up, like, I don't know, some people come in sometimes and they just take name badges apart. They just go in to help, like volunteers. If you volunteered, you'd see the environment go, whoa, this is chaos.
Mm.
Like, this is chaos. And then realize maybe that's not the right thing for me.
Because I think, the biggest example is probably law. A lot of people, they joke about it, but I can tell they're not.
Yeah.
We'll be like, I want to be a lawyer because of suits.
Yeah.
And so they see this, you know, representation on the TV, and they go, oh, this is what being a lawyer is like. Is it the same, do you think, with the medical profession?
Like Scrubs?
Or like Grey's Anatomy and whatnot?
Yeah, 100%. I think recently there's been TV shows that have really opened it up a little bit, like the paramedic show that recently came out. There's a lot of real life, you know, King's Cross ERs, heaps of stuff out there at the moment, which is cool. But I do think there's this over-dramatic, you know, dramatized sense of what it's like. Sometimes it's boring as hell.
For sure.
Like sometimes you're just looking after people with like toe pain and hurt their ankle and, you know, like, oh. And other times it's really exciting. And I think you really do have to sort of realize that it changes. So what you experience one day, the next day is totally the opposite.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important to sort of weigh that up and down.
I mean, that's it. It's like when you're looking at a career, it's like, why do you want to do it beyond just, I want to help people. Yep. And then it's like very practical. Go learn from someone.
Yeah.
Go ask a nurse. Hey, can I, is there anything like, is any way I could come like shadow you? Is yep. it, would you be willing, can I buy you a coffee?
Yeah. And just chat.
What nurse would say no yeah, to a young person saying, hey, can I buy you a coffee 100%. Just to learn from you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone ever saying no to that.
No, not at all. That, yeah. We live off coffee, mate. I've had three, I've had three already this morning, dude. And it's like 10:40. Like, I think that's important for sure. I also think you got to be willing to deal with shift work.
Mm.
Most of the time nurses deal with shift work. You have to be willing to cop night shifts, arvo shifts and day shifts, and your roster to be absolutely stuffed.
Mm.
So if you're someone that really loves a lifestyle and loves being out on the weekend, it works, but also sometimes you're going to be working a lot.
Mm.
So I think it's important to weigh that up. And I think some people have jumped into it and then realized, oh, dude, I've got no life.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a life. I love it. It's not no life because I managed to add my shifts on so I get 4 days off or...
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So you've taken advantage of the shift work. You've
gone, 100%.
Well, shift work means I can be more flexible and like gun it for 3 days and then take the next
day. See you Monday, off. Tuesday, Wednesday. I like those days off. Like I'm making it work for me. I'm fine. I found a job where I can not only help people, but it gives me time to do other things. Because it's important to realize that when you do a job, it can't be everything.
Mm.
It's like that step ladder of burnout. You just go in every way and then you just fall down. You've got to step in. So hit a shift, rest, hit a shift, rest, hit a shift, rest.
And that's coming from you, and you're probably one of the most passionate nurses I've met.
Yeah.
Like you love your job.
100%.
And so that means burnout's going to be a lot easier to avoid because you love what you do, but it's still going
to
be there.
100%. And you've got to make time for stuff. Like I've... Like just to off topic personally, like I'm up to my 94th day running 5Ks in a row.
Nice.
So I've run every day for 95 days, dude. Most of it's been raining. It's been horrible.
Oh, if you know the weather in Australia lately, it's been torrential rain.
But I do it before my shift is. I'm up at 4:30. I'm running. And then before I've done a 12-hour shift, I'm there. Mm. And you know what? Sometimes people look at me like, oh, how can you do that? Like, why would you even be bothered? It's like, because I've now sorted this out that I can give the rest of it. If the mind's good, the body follows. The mind will go where the body has been. I've done that run. I've mentally been through, you know, they talk about your demons, or I've been through those heavy situations when I'm running and I'm talking to myself and saying, I can do this, I've got this. So when I want to shift, bro, I've got this, man.
Yeah.
I've done it.
And that's the thing about morning routines. If you can like do something difficult in the morning, then the rest of your day you go, oh, it's like if you go to the gym in the morning, you're less likely to eat crap food.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't want to ruin what I just did in the morning.
100%.
I worked out. I got to eat clean food to match that. Yeah. And then you think clearer, and that's a whole nother conversation within it.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm. And so, you know, I remember in the last episode, you said something like, I mean, you've been working for 10 years and there's only been like 1 or 2 days where you didn't want to go in.
100%. And even that day that I didn't want to go in, I drove 10 meters down the road. I'm old school, but I put on some music that I love.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I like my job.
Yeah.
Like I actually genuinely go there. I'm going to do overtime today to help people. I'm not doing it because I'm desperate for cash in the back pocket.
Yeah.
But I really want to go in there because some people there that I really want to teach and learn off, and they couldn't do it in any other day.
Mm.
So I think that's important. I do it because I love it. And I genuinely get in there and I genuinely talk to a person and I go, you're interesting, you know, what's your story? And I'm still doing stuff. I'm not like there sitting down with a coffee. I'm working, but I'm learning about them going, gee, I'm so glad I met that person.
Well, that's how I met you.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know
exactly right. You're
about to, like 10 minutes before you knocked me out, you're just like, "Oh, you got a podcast? I've got a podcast."
Byron liked those drugs. He fell asleep really easy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was excited because they're going to give me morphine. I've never had morphine, and everyone always talks very highly of it.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't feel anything. I was like, "This stuff sucks. It's not working." And then you guys knocked me out straight away, and I was like, "All right,
bit of ketamine in profile. I think you were having a good old sleep, mate."
Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah. But I mean, that's why, you know, you're similar to that guy at the cafe I just mentioned, Connor.
Yep.
It's like, it's just everyday thing. I just went to the hospital. You could have just been doing your job, but you're having a great conversation. I met you, you said you got a podcast. I've got a podcast, invited you on the show. This guy at the cafe, near where I live, just great personality. He's very friendly. And now we've become friends. Like, it's crazy what opportunities can happen just through being passionate and kind of loving what you do and 100%. Just like being friendly and being open to new ideas.
Yes. And I'm not forcing myself to like it.
No.
Like I'm not pretending and going, like putting on this uniform and going, oh, like I'm here because I got to be here.
Mm.
Like don't half-ass it. What's the point in being there if you don't want to be there? I tell people all the time, legit.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, go. Like also, literally go. Find something else. It's better for you as a person to find something else that you can reach your max or 120% than be doing it 70% for 20 years, bro. Not worth it.
And that's what I said in the book. I was just like, if you've got two doctors, right? As I mentioned earlier, one could be, he loves chemistry. He loves all that stuff. He loves helping people. Yep. He's passionate when he wakes up. Or another one who's just, you know, their parents kind of force him into it.
Yep.
They got the high marks. Now they're in and all that. They could both be qualified and everything. Mm. But which doctor would you rather have work on you?
100%.
The one who's passionate and everything. So it's like, not only is it, you're in an industry where you're looking after people.
Yep.
It's almost disrespectful if you're just there yep. to do the bare minimum, I think.
I agree.
Especially in medical industry, because it's like, yep. you're dealing with people's lives.
Yep, I agree.
So it's like, it's something where you can't really afford to just be waking up and just slogging it to work and not yeah. be passionate. And look, there's always going to be thousands of people out there who do that. Like,
yep.
it's unavoidable. But I guess for the listeners of the show, what is something that lights you up?
That lights me up?
Yeah.
At work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that lights me up is new, like good example, like new, something new. Like yeah. Something, I love new stuff. So like I saw a dude with like Steven Johnson syndrome. It's like a one in a million disease. I froth on that. I jumped in there, gowned up. He had COVID. I didn't care, bro. Gowned up, goggles on, got everything ran in there. Like, hey dude, how you going? Can I examine you? I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's new. Have you seen the one in a million case? No, they haven't. They haven't. What are you doing? Let's go see it.
Mm.
I love that stuff because it's the textbook come to life.
Mm.
And for me, patients come to life. I read about them. I know algorithms of cardiac arrest. I know all these stuff. But then to see it and go, this is actually a person. This is their leg. Or this is a, you know, a child. This is actually them.
Mm.
That lights me up.
Yeah.
I get lighted up on cases too, because cases are real people. And I love people. I'm a people's person. So I love, yeah, that's a bit weird. But I think I just love that interaction. I love human interaction.
Mm. Oh, so do I. And that's where COVID really, like,
yeah.
Knock me down a few pegs.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get much human interaction. Even my interviews were online and I'm just yep. like, ah. Oh. Like, I love doing these in-person interviews.
Yep.
But as soon as it switches to online, it feels like a chore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it. Yep. In person, I love it.
Yeah.
And look, it means I'm very limited. I can only interview people where I am.
Yep.
I could have got huge people on from America or yes. England and stuff.
Yep.
But it's like, no, but I love doing in-person interviews. I think the podcast interviews are way better.
Yep.
I think it comes across better energy. Just everything's better.
100%.
And the online is such a chore because, again, I'm a people's person as well.
Mm. And I think you're right. Like, you see little things that, like, you know, we had a coffee this morning. You saw little things from the waitress, what she did. Or you saw little things when you walked into the cafe and you got a vibe, or you knew that barista wasn't there yesterday. Yeah, yeah, and you're like, oh, the vibe's different this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's important. And I also think things that light me up is I have an energy and I try to not let that energy be crushed.
Yeah.
So, you know, go where you're celebrated. You know, go to those places where people can use your energy. Mm. Because so often than not, you can be in places where that's sort of seen as like not good. But I'm in an ED where people like the energy that I bring.
Right. So that's an important thing for career as well.
Yep.
Don't go into an industry that is like sucking away your energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you give a lot of it. Like, I give it.
For
like,
sure.
I give a lot of energy out. But I also, like, my bucket's full at home before I come to work. Mm. Does that make sense? So yep. when I come to work, I've got something to give. Not always. There's, you have those days here. But I try to make sure my bucket's full. And people, you know, I make some time for me. I'm a little bit selfish sometimes with that time. So that when I come in, dude, I'm 120% there for you. Mm. You know, I rarely check my phone on my shift. I'm really there to do my job.
Yeah.
And when I leave, you know, I'm still the same person.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
And I think the key thing you kind of mentioned there when I said, like, what lights you up, and I think this is important for young people, is, like, curiosity.
Yeah.
It's, like, just being, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
And if you're in a job that gives you the ability to constantly be curious, that's yep. exciting, because you don't need a job that's the same thing yep. every single, and that's definitely a benefit of being in the health profession.
Oh,
every day is different, right?
100%.
You're going to have days where they're boring as hell, then you have days where it's just like madness.
Yep. And that's cool. Like, if you're someone, I need to see new things. I get very bored very easily, if that makes sense. This world gets very bored very easily. A video they watch for more than 10 seconds,
absolutely,
like, not into it, next one. ED is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
You know, this person's got a story, I assess them, I'll do my thing, but then I can move on to something else. I can always find something to learn.
Yeah.
If you can't find something to learn in what you're doing, I don't think it's for you.
Yeah.
That's me.
You constantly need to be learning.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you stop learning, you're going to be, the world's going to move on.
Yeah.
And you're not going to catch up, which is what we're seeing a lot of older generations.
100%.
They're not catching up because they, you know, I think there are studies that have shown as your brain gets older, it's more fatiguing to find new stuff. But it's just like the way older generations haven't like adopted technology and stuff and they're just so far behind. It's like they have not all of them. A lot of them have no reality of what's even going on.
Yep.
And that's like 10 years they just haven't adopted.
It's so true. So
you've got to constantly be learning because industries are changing so quickly.
Yep. And you're right. You've got to be up to date with them. And I think that helps you do what you do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for me. I mean, that's just how I get lit up. I'm always lit up. Like, if that makes sense. Like, you don't have to, it doesn't take long for me to be excited.
Yeah.
I'm like a puppy dog, bro. You know, I start off and I'm already ready to go. It can be annoying in a sense. but in the sense it's what I feel I need to do my job and to be me. I think you got to be genuine with who you are as a person. And I'm like this outside of work. Mm. Like the surf's pumping, I'm stoked. I'm like, you can't get my wedding on quick enough.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. That's me. I mean, maybe moving on to, I guess, another barrier to entry, I see a lot of people go in nursing is finances.
Yep.
They go, oh, it's not the best paying job. How have you found that? I know you do a lot around investing and shift work and overtime and all that. Yeah. Like, what's it like financially?
I think it's good, dude. Like, so for me, I'm like an educator in ED. I mean, if I can say numbers, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, I
love when people say numbers.
Yeah, I don't earn over 120 grand easy. Yeah. Probably for the last 10 years, I've always earned, and I've always dabbled in other things. Like, I dabbled at university teaching, and I still do some textbook stuff on the side, that sort of stuff. Mm. But I easily earn over 120, 130 grand a year.
That's insane, because most people think nursing's like 70 to 80.
No, and I work 3 12-hour shifts a week, dude.
Yeah. So like, wait, 3 12-hour shifts a week?
Yeah, dude.
So less than a full, like 30, is that 38 hours?
Yeah, I still work the same hours. You know, you do 1 8-hour shift a month. But in terms of like, I'm off work.
Like 3 days a week.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. 3 to 4 days a week. Yeah. Not there. Yeah. Not giving mental time. And with my job, I don't have to think about... I mean, you still think about patients and stuff when you're not there.
Of course.
But I'm not like running a business where I'm still trying to do stuff there. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 100%.
I think that's important that I'm there 3 days and my time, mentally, time is elsewhere.
And is that a standard wage, or is that because you've found other ways in the nursing
shift
area?
Shift work helps you, dude. Like, so if you work like an afternoon shift, you get like a penalty rate. If you work night shift, you get penalty rates.
Yeah.
Weekends is where you score your money. Mm. So if you work weekends, you get better penalties.
Right, right.
And so that's, I like working weekends. So I've always worked, you know, 2 out of the 4 weekends.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's taxing on me at all. I feel like it's beneficial.
Because you've got the other days off.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hierarchy. I don't know if you've ever worked in a big company or in a big hospital. Hospital's like a company.
Yeah.
During the week, there's a lot of big names walking through the building, you know, telling you what to do and that sort of stuff, which I like. And then other days, I like the weekends where you can sort of run your own show a little bit.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you can kind of cruise.
So I guess your message would be, if you want to be a nurse, be a nurse. Don't worry about the money.
No, you earn money. Yeah. And like, dude, there's people that like travel nurses that earn a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Like a fortune. Like they're literally, and there's people that, and the hard thing is like, if you were trying to decide between, I guess, medicine and nursing, if that's the two that we would think about. I've thought of medicine. I've wanted to do it. But for me, I felt like that I was not going to give enough time to friends and family. And this is like recent, dude. The last 4 years, I spent time studying for GAMSAT, which is a medical
exam. I remember the last episode you were saying you've passed it a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I passed it once, but then obviously failed the first time to get in, but didn't get an interview in Sydney for med school. And then people just like try again, try again. But then you just don't realize the time you spend in medicine, which is like 10 years plus, and you're still not a consultant. So you're still doing night shifts and you're still earning the same money that I'm earning now.
Yeah.
So that's a big, like, I'd put myself 15 years back. If you love it and you're driven and you want to do it, it's the only thing you've ever wanted to do in life, then you go for it.
Yeah.
But if it's like, I can still do what I'm doing now and still have an impact and still be maybe financially better, and more time with my family and kids.
Well, that's the thing. You've got family and kids now.
Yeah.
I think if you're like early 20s, you've got a bit more time to invest into studying and all that.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, you've got a whole life set up. You've got family, you've got kids.
Yeah.
It's like... bit more of a commitment to you. You've got a mortgage to pay for. You've got responsibilities 100%. That a 21-year-old doesn't have.
No, and I won't. Like, if I get to 50 and I want to learn something and decide, nah, done, I'm going to go do it, I'll do it. I don't care. I'm not one of those people that sort of goes, I'm too old and too, you know. I'm always going to die young. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's just how I've always lived.
Yeah.
I joke around my mates, like, I sleep when you're dead.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I know we've got to sleep, but it's just how I sort of roll.
Yeah.
So that sort of stuff. You mean you pay hex debt, everyone, you know, or you can try and have some money aside and... I mean, obviously put it on hex, but you could invest in that time.
Well, I was gonna, this is what we said last episode.
We joked about hexing, and hexing's an interesting topic. I paid mine off in the first 4 years straight up, done. Yeah. So I don't have a hex debt. I paid it off in 4 years, done.
Because, yeah. I mean, I've got a few things about hex.
Yep.
But I remember last episode we said, because a lot of people will be like, oh, doctors higher status, they get more money than nurses, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
True, when they're working.
Yes.
But it takes a long time.
Yep.
We kind of said, we ran the math. We were like, if you went into nursing and started getting paid up front, you could invest that money. And by the time your doctor friends have caught up to you, you've got so much money invested and you've been financially, if you're financially smart with it, you're actually perpetually ahead of them. They can't catch up to you, even though they're on double or triple what you're earning.
Yep.
It's like, if you're smart with your money, like if you're earning 100 grand a year as a nurse and you're putting 30,000 aside every year into like stocks or just putting it
100%.
Into a property or, you know, whatever it is and investing it smartly, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just put it into like an ETF or something.
Yes.
You can be set up for life.
I think you can.
Over, you know, if you do it when you graduate, if you went straight after high school, like 23?
Yep.
23, let's say by the time you're 35, you've got 15 years of investing.
Yeah. You can.
Sweet.
And you can do that sort of stuff. That stuff's achievable and attainable if you think smart. I think it's really important. I think, like what you said, you can, there's like, you know, two different trajectories. And I don't think people really feel like, you know, with law as well, there's a lot of stuff to go on until you're actually fully qualified earning that big money.
Yeah.
And on then it's like, what has it cost you? Not money as well.
Yeah.
What did it cost you here? What did it cost you health-wise? Health-wise is a big one.
Mm.
Like if you don't make time for your wellness, you're gonna have to make time for your illness.
Mm.
I was like 8 kilos overweight before I started running, dude.
Wow.
So I've lost like 9 kilos just on running.
Wow.
But I had the mental time to run and not study. So I think you got to weigh it up.
Oh, this is when you were studying medicine.
Yeah, I put on like 8 kilos just to distress and trying to study. So wow. I think what's it worth to you? Yeah. You know, I think that's the key. It's not only like, do you want to do it? You have to, if you say yes to something, you say no to something else.
Mm.
That's
my opportunity theory. Cost.
You do, yeah. So you got to weigh that up. I think you can earn a good money and a good wage being a nurse as well. Yeah. We're also doing, you know, there's a recent strike about wages. I do think we need more money.
Yeah.
But...
like working conditions and stuff.
Working conditions, dude. We get flogged, bro. Like we can work in some shifts where there's like 40 patients and you're like, there's two nurses just trying to sort it out.
So strikes are more for like conditions.
Conditions and,
like,
and safety, dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to go and see someone who should have got the, like your mom or your dad or anyone in your family and being left there in agony.
Yeah.
While I can't get to them. That's just not fair. Like, dude, wouldn't treat my dog sometimes how, not so much how people are treated, but in the sense that you hear experiences where people have been left and it's, just overworked and we just physically don't have enough people to help.
Yeah. And then the customers get angry at the nurses and the nurses are like feel crap and it's like not their fault.
No, and COVID's been a height of that, dude, because people are coming in already hitting 10. They've been in isolation. They've got COVID or, you know, and they're coming in and there's the kids got COVID, whatever, you know. And they come in and they're already at 10 and then they come in, they're upset, they're angry.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, dude. I'm always apologetic and just try to sort of bring it down to sort of like, being caring and drop down and lower myself. Because I think if you lower yourself and someone else is better, I always feel it's better for them.
Well, how has COVID been for you as a health worker? Was it just like mayhem at some
moments? It was mayhem, dude. Mayhem in the sense of like, it's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want to say. Like COVID's yes, it's a disease and you know, we know all about it from what we've read and seen, but it's also a logistical nightmare in terms of where do I put patients? Emergency departments aren't designed for COVID.
Mm.
So they're open planned, like, you know, and then you got this, you know, respiratory illness where we're trying to put people in single rooms. We don't have single rooms, bro. We're wearing, and you know, wearing plastic for your whole shift.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, it is brutal. Like people got over it, walk into a cafe with a mask. I don't like wearing a mask, dude.
Yeah.
But I did it because my mindset is I'm better off than what the rest of the world was copying. That's how I went in. I went to a room thinking I'm not in the UK. I'm not in America. My friends were and nursing and in the medical field. So for me, my mindset always is I always compare, and which is just what I do. I go, I'm not in that environment. Suck it up. Let's do it.
It's the same thing. And I think there are definitely negatives and positives to that mindset because I have the same mindset.
Yep.
I think a negative can be, it means you'll never let yourself feel like, just be like, you know what? This is actually a tough thing. Because if you're perpetually going, well, at least it's not as bad as this and this and this. But I completely agree. Because that was my mindset. It's like people complaining about how we handled COVID in Australia and its restrictions. Yep. I was like, man, our deaths are so low.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I get it. I hated isolation. Yeah,
100%.
But ultimately, We're alive.
Yeah.
And we're doing pretty well as a country. Like, yes, the restrictions, it was all a pain in the ass.
Yep.
But I was like, but look at what other countries are doing.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's a good mindset to have with the balance.
I think you got to balance it.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And I think also, like, I didn't have a business. So if I was in a business world, I'd be so angry and so frustrated and financially could be in a worse place. I was getting paid every fortnight, dude. And I was doing well. I was doing that much overtime. I'm fine, dude. I can buy, you know, what I need to buy.
Yeah.
So I think that's a different thing to have. And I think you're right. It almost can, you've got to check yourself at the door.
Yeah.
So when other people are upset and crying, you've got to then go, hang on, they don't have the same mentality as me.
Yeah.
So I might feel like a beast here, but they're upset and crying. I've got to lower that down, drop it and come and try and be like, oh, hey, do you want me to go into the room if that's okay?
Yeah.
Have a sit down. I know it's overwhelming. Go get a coffee. I'll jump in there.
You don't want to be like, oh, look. At least you're not in England.
Yeah, it's
like
you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that.
Like, that's such a dick thing to do.
It is. It's povo. And I think you got to learn that, like, the way you roll can't be the same as the person with you next to you. You know? And I think that's why I love humans, is that we're so different.
Mm.
And the way you think and I think is totally different.
Yeah.
But we can join forces and collide on some things and go, yeah, I agree with you on that, man. That's cool.
Well, have you heard of the six human needs?
No, hit me.
Okay, so I mean, you've kind of already described all. We say, like, if you're looking for a job, like if you can hit all these needs, that's it.
Yep.
You're going to be happy for life. I mean, there's more to it than that, but it's going to be a lot more fulfilling than a lot of the other things. So the first one is variety.
Yep.
The first one is variety. In your life, you want a variety.
Yeah.
The second one is the opposite of variety. What's it called? Like
consistency.
Consistency. It's like, you know, you still want to have consistency.
Yep.
So variety, consistency, love and connection.
Yep.
Of course, that's a big one.
Yep.
What's the other ones? I'm trying to remember. Maybe I'll Google them. The other one's contribution.
Yep.
Significance.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that. Yeah, I can't remember them. I always forget. I don't know why it's so hard to remember, but we should bring them up.
Yeah, bring them up.
Six human needs is like, if you can find those things, you've kind of mentioned them all.
Yep.
You've got variety, you've got love and connection, you've got contribution, you've got significance in what you do. Like when someone leaves and they say, thank you so much for looking after me, do you not feel significant?
100%.
Have you contributed to them?
Yep.
Every day is different because you're getting variety. Yep. But then also you have the routine of, I work weekends.
Yeah.
And so you're hitting all those boxes and you can see that's probably a big part of why you're passionate, why you love what you do.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting in an office just doing Excel spreadsheet or whatever is like a repeatable task over and over.
Yeah. And I did that. Like I worked for the uni as a lecturer and like I did probably a year with them and I was like, I can't do this. Like, you know, and people would say to you like, what are you doing? And it was all about like what you produce from work. But for me, I didn't have value in that. Like I wanted it to be like something that clinically I could give to people. I think you're right. Hey, like you don't often get told thank you. So that's something that you got to, sometimes I say to myself, hey, that was a good job.
Yeah, really?
So I celebrate the wins in me.
I think I said thank you to you guys.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You're awesome, man. You had ketamine. Everyone says thank you after ketamine. But I think like you do get it, but it's so busy that you don't have time to appreciate it and soak that in.
Yes.
So I think.
It's like, thank you. Move on. Next patient.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Like it's Ariana Grande. Thank you. Next.
Yeah.
Like legit. But I do think that you have to celebrate yourself. So I do that. I walk in the car and I'm not like up myself, but I say I did well. However, like, and I celebrate that I did well. And then I look back and just go, what could I have? I'm a reflector. So I always think what I could do differently or better because that's just, I think what can make me better as a person. I think, oh yeah, that was good. I'm very honest as a person. So I'll come back and say, hey, Brian, we had a chat yesterday. I'm so sorry. I said this and I think I might've offended you. You go, what are you talking about? But like, I just thought about it in the car and, you know, and that's just who I am as a person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I do tend to give a lot. And I think sometimes you've got to be careful of that. You can give too much.
Mm.
Yep.
It's, I think, so much of what we're talking about in this episode is the balance.
Yep.
Figuring out the balance.
Yep. And I've just got it, dude. It's taken me ages. Yeah. So does that make sense? I'm not someone who's always been balanced. Does that make sense?
So you've had like moments of burnout where you've just gone, doubled down too hard.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. Dude, why am I running 100 days in a row, dude? Why don't I just run 3 days a week?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that more balanced than running every day?
Yeah.
But someone said to me, no, you won't run every day. So I go, oh, that's a mental challenge. So I like the challenge, but then I know that I know where I'll go too much because 100 turns into 200, turns into 300, turns into 365, and then it becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, well, hang on, do I want to run every day? Like, that's a lot of washing, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of like 4:30 wake ups where sometimes I want to sleep in and hang out with the kids and make, you know, pancakes.
Mm.
So then I go, I'll draw a line in the sand where I won't become unbalanced.
Yeah.
So mine's 100 days. So I said, I'll run 100 days. That's enough mental challenge.
Yeah.
When I get to 100, I'm going to be consistent 3 days, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Without consistency, you never finish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's such a consistency is key.
Yep.
And so, especially for young people, because then I think very inconsistent and we want that instant gratification. It's like, if you want to achieve anything, be consistent.
Yeah.
Be long-term consistent. How do you achieve a goal? It's just a habit compounded over time.
It is.
Habituals and consistency is so important. Like the running is probably habitual for you now.
Yeah, it is. And like I look at it and go, what? Like this morning, I'm like, I know I'm going to be at work till 11 o'clock at night. We're coming here in the city. I've got to leave from where I'm living.
Yeah.
But I go, oh, it's cool. Like I just get up early. I make time. So if it's important to you, you make time.
Yeah.
Like your friends, if they're really important to you, you can make time. There's 24 hours in a day. Dude, you can make time for a half an hour convo.
Always.
You can make time.
And that's definitely something that bothers me when it's like, and not so much me because I've got good friends, but like even my other friend, she had like a birthday party and a bunch of people didn't come. I was like, this is her birthday.
Yeah.
Like, come on. This isn't just a meetup. This is like her birthday. I'm busy. Like, make time. Come on. Like, I know it's a privileged thing to say in some degree.
No, it's
but
not.
It's like, I think you're right. If they are important enough, you'll find a way to make time.
You will. And then you sort of look back and say, what have I said yes to? What have I said no to? And there's times when you've just got to say no as well.
Yeah.
And that's the balance when you go, oh, like just to flip a coin there. You go, oh, I've got to balance it out. Maybe that they're not as a, like, and I had that recently. A guy called me and said, like, you haven't called me. You haven't been there for me. Which is so rare for me ever to have.
Yeah.
I was really offended. And my wife was really cool in terms of saying, like, rethink about that. Where is he on your priority list of what you've got on your plate?
Yeah.
My plate was full, man.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, once I explained that to him, he was cool. He just didn't realize how full my plate was.
Yeah.
And how full, and realizing that's important as a human.
But your plate was probably actually full. I think a lot of people say it's full.
Yes,
and
that's true.
I'm like, nah, bullshit. I've seen you're out every second day
that's true.
For coffee and drinks. And it's like, look, I'm fine with that, but it's just don't lie.
No,
it's like, do you want to go out? It's like if you say to a friend, like, do you want to go out next week and say, I'm busy? It's like, you're busy the entire week.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, I'm flat out next week, but I can find time for a coffee or for a time to catch up.
That's true. But people do, and they say that a lot. Like, they say, oh, they grind. Like, this is a big one at the moment.
Hustle.
We're in a hustle, we're in a grind, say, and people say they grind, but do they grind? They don't.
Yeah.
They don't. There's a few people that do grind.
Yeah.
And I know I grind.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as like I'm cocky, but I know that I do.
You grind when you're on.
When I'm on, I'm grinding.
Because then you've got 3 days off.
And I'm learning how to turn that grind off. Yes. So like, you know, doing the Sunday, maybe going, I'm not going to check my phone.
Yeah.
You know, am I missing out? Or what, am I missing out and am I not? Am I gaining more knowledge so that when I put out something, it's good and it's more tangible to people and they go, that's well thought out.
Do you, because we're quite similar, do you struggle to relax?
100%.
Like something I've, and this, I don't know if this is relevant to the listeners, but we'll just go there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially running a business, like you're never off.
No.
At any point, I could be doing emails, creating content, especially as a content creator as well. Yep. It's like I could be always putting out more videos, doing whatever. And it's really toxic because it's like, you can't be doing it 24/7. And I often go, oh, I'll take, like say I'm working. I was like, I'll go for lunch or like take some time. I'll go on TikTok. It's like, that's not relaxing.
No.
Relaxing is going for a walk, putting some music in or listening to something and just going for a walk, sitting in the sun. Like something I'm really bad at is almost, I trick myself into thinking I'm relaxing by going on my phone or watching a movie or something. But it's like, no, relaxing is going to the beach or like all these other things. But then I feel guilty when I go to the beach because I should be working. And it's like, it's really this battle I have in my head.
100%. I'm only just trying to work out how to solve that issue.
Yeah, it's tricky.
And it's tricky because it's like, for me, I think I'm missing out. So I think like if I don't do something, then I should have done it. And it's already these deadlines I created myself.
Yeah.
It's almost like.
No one's telling us to do it. It's all in your own head.
It's in your head. You're like, oh, if I don't do this now, then they won't get that episode and it's going to be late and then people are going to be upset. And then if I haven't read that article, I could get a patient that's got that. Like, what if I don't know about it?
Yeah.
It's like, what, I'm pushing this pressure on myself to almost make me work so hard that that's when I burn out.
Mm.
So it's actually recognizing the voice, I think, is important first.
Yeah.
And I struggled with something that I said maybe one time, which was reputation, because I want people to love me.
Yes.
I want them to go, dude, he's on. Frick yeah.
You want to think you're a hard worker.
100%. And reputation, we should be more concerned because reputation is what people think of you, but character is who you are.
Right.
So I'm switching now going, I want a good reputation, but I actually want a better character. Mm. So what I am is different to what people think of me.
Regardless, because it doesn't matter what people think of you.
No, it's like who I am. And I think people, the successful people you see in life are the ones that have said, whatever what people think of me. I'm going to be me.
Yeah.
Gary Vee will do it. You know, those people that will start impersonating those sort of people.
Well, because once you get to a level of success and you're in the limelight, if you care about what people think, it's going to cripple you.
Yeah.
And I deal with that. Like, I just switch off from comments now.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of sad because people still leave nice comments and I don't acknowledge them a lot because I don't really look at my comments too much because it's just, I'll be in a good mood and sometimes I'll open up a video and I'll just have I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Or, like, this podcast sucks. And it's just like, it's a little thing, but it's just like, oh.
But it weighs on you because you but that actually shows you care about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's hard because you actually go, well, I put my time into this and I'm doing this because I want people to be educated or entertained, whatever you're doing. But I think that's tough because we wear a heart on our sleeve.
Yeah.
So when people do say things about us, we're like, well, I actually gave all of my time into that. And how would they say that about me when I actually care so much?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you're right. I've struggled to turn that off, bro. And I think that's hard. I think learning how to control it's better than not being at the level. So if I can get to that level where I'm always firing and then going, how do I turn it down or off or tone it down?
Mm.
But it's harder for people, I think, that don't have the fire to say, oh, I'm trying to fire 7 days a week. We don't have to fire 7 days a week. We're firing already.
Yeah.
But we have to learn to put a bit of water on the fire some days.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, I don't know how relevant it is to the listeners, but I do think in the, I guess, the, you know, it's being more difficult. It's becoming more difficult to live in Sydney.
Yeah.
Or most places in the world. It's getting more and more difficult, which means we have to work harder. Yep. The hustle, grind thing has become a bit more common now. Yes. People are working. That's what I always say when I talk about school, right? I'm like, because a lot of people think, oh, Byron doesn't like school. It's like, no, work as hard as you can at school.
Yeah.
Work as hard as you can without sacrificing your mental health.
Yeah.
The issue I have is people in year 12 doing the HSC study too hard. It sacrifices their mental health. And I go, that's not worth it.
No.
Work as hard as you can, give it your all, but also make sure you're looking after yourself.
Yeah.
It's that thing. Like, you got to fit your own oxygen mask first.
Yeah.
And then, so I think I told you last time, maybe, in this book I'm reading, they did a study of two teams of scientists.
Yep.
One team had won two Nobel Prizes. The other had won none.
Mm.
And they looked at how many hours they worked. This team worked X amount of hours. This team worked X amount of hours. But the big difference was this team was like 10 times more likely to have a hobby, 10 times more likely to play a musical instrument, 20 times more likely to do this and this and this and this. And as a result, they were the ones with the Nobel Prizes.
Yeah.
Because especially in like creativity or science and stuff, where do you come up with ideas?
Yep.
It's not sitting in a like a cubicle, it's when you're in the shower. It's when you're relaxing. It's when you're walking in a park. That's when those ideas spark. And so I think relaxing is really important. And I say this as someone who struggles to do it.
Yeah. And that's it. I don't like exactly right. I always have, what am I going to do today? Like, and I've got, I know what I'm doing. I've got it on my list in my head already to go. But I think it's important to turn that off. How you do that is different, but I do think you need to disconnect a little bit in some way.
And well, you said surfing, didn't you?
Surfing's for me, disconnect. I don't have my phone. I made sure I don't get an iWatch that's cellular, so I can't get anything.
Yeah.
And then people know where I am in terms of family if they need me.
And it's just you and the waves.
It's me and the waves in the ocean. And for me, and that's what I've done with running. It's not so much that I love running. I actually don't like running, really. I do it because it's better, beneficial for cardiovascular health and, you know.
But it's because of mental as well.
It's mental, dude. It's all mental for me. Because that's where the battle is for me. Is if this mentally can be, then when I'm mentally in those spaces where I'm telling myself I should do it, I tap into that again and go, hang on a minute. I'm doing this in the wrong light. I'm going to step back a bit. Just wait. So time is important. And we never get, and to be honest with you, when people die, which I've looked after a lot of people that have died, they always say they wish they spent more time with their family.
Oh,
they always wish they would have believed in those dreams that they didn't take. And they all wish they could sort of stop a little bit more.
Well, so, is that the regrets of the dying, right?
Yeah.
You've read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know about the topic.
I know about the topics,
yeah. And that was an Australian nurse, wasn't it?
Yep.
So to clarify, an Australian nurse who had worked in old people.
Yeah.
And she said she basically, over a long time working, discovered there were 5 common regrets that people on their deathbed had. Kind of the ones you mentioned. I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish, a lot of the men said, I wish I hadn't worked so hard.
Yeah.
I wish I lived a life more true to myself rather than lived a life that others expected of me.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, that's the big thing.
And that's it. And I think nurses are very real people in that sense. Like I bring it back to, can sort of bring a somber note on it. But the one quote that I remembered that sort of made me sort of keep staying in what I'm doing is like, I don't want to be a public success, but a private failure. Mm. And that's like, I felt like with medicine, I could be a public success. People would be like, oh, he's a doctor. He works in ED. Like I want to do retrievals, jump out of the helicopter. I still dream of those things, but maybe in a different light or a different role. But then I would, most of the times, people that go on these journeys through these jobs, like they end up getting divorced, their kids don't like them. I don't want that, bro.
Yeah.
Their friends don't ever see them. It's like, what am I doing? And this still succeed, but I just do it in a different light.
And this is linking back to, because you recently made a decision, you know what, maybe I don't want to go into medicine.
Yeah. Or, exactly right.
Because you could get in, right?
Yeah. It's a grind. It's just another exam. Keep trying. Eventually, the gates open. My friends have done it. She's up to her 5th time she got in this year.
Yeah.
So, and it's tough.
But you've got kids and you've got a lifestyle and it's like, you don't want to sacrifice that, as you mentioned.
Yeah, or there's no point reaching the stars if everyone gets burned up with you, dude.
Yeah.
Because irrespective if you're a solo person, you carry people with you. Mm. So you've got friends, you've got family, a niece, a nephew, and they need your time. People need your time.
Yeah.
And no one, I don't think, travels complete solo. Everyone has someone that's important to them.
And
a dog or a relative, you know? So I think that was for me. Like, people get burned up in the heat when all you do is not them. People need time. If it's like the same thing, if you don't water your plant or your cactus in the corner and don't give it sunlight, it will die.
Yeah.
It's the same as friends and family. If you don't give them your time, eventually you're not, you know, you haven't prioritized them as being important to you.
Mm. But I love that. I mean, I love that quote you just said. The public, what do you say? You said
there's no point being a public success, but a private failure.
I feel like that's so relevant to young people with social media, because it's very easy to be a public success on social media, but then be suffering underneath all that with issues going on. You're not feeling worthy, and then you post these and you get a hit of external validation, which gives you dopamine hits, and you're just 100%. Like, it's this loophole of just like, we've got to crack it. Like, I completely agree. There is no point in being a public success and being a private failure. And that's where it's almost cool that, like, by presenting Empower You and by doing this podcast, I feel a level of accountability that I have to live what I say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to teach anything I don't believe in or that I don't live. When I'm teaching money and finance at Empower You, I invest everything I'm teaching is what I do.
Yeah.
When I'm teaching communication skills, this is what I do. Yep. When I'm teaching goal setting, this is the goal setting methods that I use at the beginning of each quarter. I
love it.
And so it's just like, and they say, I think, and you, I'm sure you can attest to this, teaching is one of the best ways of learning.
Yeah, 100%.
And so, and it does hold you accountable. Like, you can't teach nurses all this and then when you're on you and not do it.
No, and teachers, you have to, what I said, the best teacher is always a learner. Like, you know, it always is a, you know, always is the one that steps back and goes, oh, what can I learn from that? And that's what I regularly let people hold me accountable, do a skill and say, can you watch me do it? And that's how you get better at stuff. You get people to watch you do stuff. And I think the key thing with like the private failure, you know, and we don't want to use that. People don't like using the word failure. People don't like saying they've failed at something.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you, if you talk to people that have had that in life and go, they'll tell you straight up, dude, like, you know, my kids don't like me or they never want to see me or... And we all make mistakes. That's important to understand. We all make mistakes. But we don't want to rewrite the same thing that was done to us, if that makes sense. We don't want to rewrite and go, oh, I always wanted to not do this and I end up doing it. Like, that's just, ah.
Well, we all make mistakes, but it's those who learn from them.
Correct.
That move on.
Yeah.
It's like, don't make this. And what do they say? Doing the same thing over and over is a definition of insanity.
It is.
So if you just do the same thing and then you make a mistake and then you do it again. Yeah. And then again and again and again and again and again. It's like,
what have I learned from
what
this?
What are we going on here?
Yeah.
It's like failure is one of the best things that can happen to your life so long as you grow from it and figure out the learnings.
Yes.
Because everyone's failed.
100%. I actually love failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can learn to love failing, yeah. That'll change your life.
I love it. I actually deep down go, not in the moment. I want to let that happen. Not in the moment. I always feel like I'm the worst thing in the world. But the moment after I've failed, I reflect and I have this sense of like, there was a reason to that.
Well, let's use an extreme example. Yep. If I make an extreme, let's say you do something and someone dies.
Yeah, there's a big one at the moment. So a nurse in America gave a drug. She killed somebody.
Yeah.
Got it out of the thing, you know, and basically, yeah, the person died.
Yeah.
It was huge. It's so huge in America because now they're saying all nurses going to, or all doctors going to get in trouble for this little, or not little, so it's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of complex, multiple little errors that end up falling back on one person.
Right.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Or Rhonda, someone was on the
news. And so, I mean, that's an extreme example, but what we can look at the bright side, it's probably never going to happen again.
Yeah.
So how many lives could you potentially save? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but if we use an example, let's say you as a nurse make a mistake and it costs someone their life or something, now you're never going to do that again.
Yeah.
There's that a great story, and it was like there's a pilot back in like the early 1900s, and he was flying a plane, petrol plane, and he started flying. As soon as he took off, he started flying, and then it just started stuttering.
Yep.
Turns out the mechanic had put diesel into it instead of petrol.
Heavy.
And so then he has to go and crash land, and he's a great pilot. He manages to crash land and survive, and he's all fine. No one dies. And then when he goes up to the mechanic, instead of lashing out of him and everything, he says, I want you to fill up my plane tomorrow. Because who's the one person in the world who's never going to put diesel in that again?
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I'm feeling you. And I think that's good, eh? We do make mistakes, dude, and I think the
especially
hard thing is
in COVID times when you're understaffed, under pressure, it's like,
but it's a weight you carry, and I think it's really hard to describe when someone's life's in your hands.
Absolutely.
So I think it is a tough weight to, and no one wants to be that person that's actually killed somebody ever, and not, you know, and touch wood, you know, you don't want to be, and there's people that have by mistakes, doctors, nurses, other people. There's weird people out there. Let's just make that sure. There's people that are actually bad people that work in healthcare. But the people like myself that actually genuinely do care, I don't ever want anything happening to my patients.
Of course.
I'm super vigilant. But we do, you know, make errors. And that's important. Like if you're a baseball player, right, you got a strike rate.
Yeah.
So everyone goes, oh, how many times are you allowed to miss a baseball? You're allowed a strike rate of like 300. So you miss like five or something, you know. But we're not allowed to miss any.
Yeah.
We're not allowed. And then it's considered like, you should have seen what this nurse or doctor did.
Mm.
Like, bro, what about the 900 times they hit that over the bloody fence?
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah.
It's only about the time you made that mistake.
Because they consider that the bare minimum.
Because it's their family member too.
Yeah.
And that's a hard, bro. It's the bare minimum for us is to strike 100% of the time.
Well, even my grandma, she's been, I think when I met you, I said she'd had a heart attack and miraculously survived.
Yeah.
But since that, she's been rough. Like she's been in and out. She's got stuff going on. And for the first time in like maybe a month ago, the doctors gave her a different medication and they finally hit the right combination.
Yep.
She's back.
Yeah, cool.
And we're so grateful. We're just like, oh my God, what did you do? Like she's just, before that, I felt like a bad grandson, but I couldn't hold a conversation with her.
Yeah.
She was just so out of it. I was like, I don't know what to say, but now I can actually talk to her.
Yep. Which is important, eh?
And so I think—
it's a trial and error.
Well, I think people should be more grateful for nurses if they look after them. Like, it's not the bare minimum in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's maybe the ego of like having Medicare and having, I think that people don't realize how lucky they are in Australia.
They don't, bro.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
If this was in another country, your family member could be dead or you have 20 grand out of pocket.
Yeah. And it's hard not to get jaded with that too when people come in with stuff that's not, you know, an emergency, you know, and people can be real jaded. Yeah. But I think I always just say hi, I'm Benny, welcome to emergency, what brings you in today?
Yeah.
And they tell me and say, what's your emergency? And they tell me and they can sometimes say, oh, I'm sorry, it's not an emergency. No. But I don't, that's cool. Like they're here. You're here now. Let's play ball, whatever.
Well, even when I did my shoulder when we met, right? Yeah. I don't even remember. There was no ambulances available for me.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember I was lying on the ground and I was like in this position and I was like, I was 20 minutes on there. I was like, oh, the ambulance should be here soon. And then we got a call back and like, sorry, there's none available for an hour.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, the idea of having nothing for an hour was like, no way.
Torture.
Yeah. And I was like, so what do we do? And then, so yeah, and I could have had angriness about that, but also my logical brain was going, Well, that's that. The only reason they said that is because I'm not life or death, which means there must be other stuff going on out there that is life or death. And so I wasn't that upset. The only reason I was upset was I didn't get the green whistle. Because if the ambulance comes, they can at least alleviate the pain. 100%. The pain. But I was sitting in the waiting room just like, come on, when's the nurse coming in? Yeah. And like, and so, yeah, there's definitely moments when I was like probably up to the 1 hour mark and nothing had been done.
100%.
And I'm like, this is frustrating. I know they're prioritizing me, but it's like, can we get the ball moving?
Yep.
But ultimately it was like, it was free.
Yeah.
You know, it got. I was home by like, what, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Everything was solved. I had a good experience. Like, you know, it was pretty good. And so I think that's where it's, you always want to focus on that sort of thing.
You do. And you're allowed to talk about the times when it's been, like you said, drinking that. It's so frustrating. Why haven't I had this happen? But I like how you sort of, you know, I think the leveling it up is important too.
Yeah.
There is something going on. You know, I can't remember what came in that night, but you know, there's always something hectic happening. And there's always someone worse off than us sometimes. Yeah. However, we're also better off than other people, you know? So I think it's good to, that measuredness, I think, is really important.
Well, that this, I mean, that's almost poetic, almost towards the end of the podcast. That links back to your experience in Africa.
Yeah.
Almost that message you just said, there are people who are worse than us, was the trigger that got you into becoming a healthcare worker because you saw the conditions these people were in and what it's like to help people.
Yeah. And I think it's what you, it's not only what you see, it's like what you have, it's what you do with what you have.
Yeah.
So, and I say this to people, like, I guess for burnout, because we talked about it, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. So it's okay to, like, even with talking about your practices and not overcooking it at 100%, that's what I'm doing. It's okay to not be okay and be at the 7 days a week doing everything, but it's not okay to stay there because I can see the trajectory of me doing 7 days a week is going to burn me out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to not stay there forever. So I'm going to work on little measures and points to do better at that. Same as what I do in life. I'm okay to not be okay in this, or sometimes I'm okay and I'm sweet with it. I'm in a good place, but I can always do something better.
I mean, I saw, and I don't know, this is probably a little bit controversial, I saw a video on TikTok of someone saying, I guess the issue with antidepressants is if they're not working, like if that's all they're focusing on,
yes.
So you're not focusing on getting better, it's just numbing it.
Yeah.
It's like you need the numbing and then you also need to focus on how do I get out of this?
Correct.
On top of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I saw someone, they were talking a lot more smarter than me, but I was like, okay, that's an interesting point. Which kind of ties into that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think like you said, like what you've seen, then there's got to be a response to it. So if you've seen something that's crazy and or you've experienced something crazy, sometimes you have to do something about it. So sometimes that is taking a leap or taking a leap of faith and doing something that might be, you know, something that I wouldn't do that, but it's helping people. I always think when I do it, it sounds weird to say this, but I lower myself to help others. And it's a bit like, you know, but actually you do because my needs become lower. My coffee, my wee, you know, when I need to piss, when I need to do this, it just becomes lower. But in the end, I do have to self-care out of that environment, which I do. I'm learning to go, you know what? Actually, I'm going to get like everything sorted on this section. I'm going to grab a quick coffee and then get back into it.
Yeah.
That's taking time.
Yeah. No, amazing. Well, Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, dude.
As per usual, we got one final question.
Yep.
It can be related to anything you want. And that's, what advice would you give to an 18-year-old today?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, gee, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Yeah. I think I would say know yourself. It's a sort of silly question to sort of say, but I think know yourself. And know that sort of character thing. I think that was probably the big point that I raised earlier, that like, don't be so worried about your reputation, be worried about your character. That's who you are. And if you know you, then you know when you're operating outside of the you. And I've operated outside of the me. Yeah. I've operated at times where I'm like, that's not me, man. I look back and go, that wasn't me.
Mm.
Yes, it was me physically, but I don't think I was being true to me.
Like the universe, when you're working at university.
Yeah, or even when I had conversations with people and I was trying to impress people, you know. Right. I used to get to parties late so people would know when I'm there. I'm not turning up first and being the only person sitting around. That's going to be awkward. I want to be there at the life of the party and turn up, I'm here, woo, let's go. And I want to be the center of attention.
Mm.
So learning about that, those things when I was younger, realizes that, and then making jokes about people, that was insecurity about me.
Mm.
So once I've worked that out and dealt with some of those issues myself, I became more happy to be in those uncomfortable zones.
And that's, you know, it's funny you say that because my latest episode, I'm really, really like 105, was all about finding your identity, which is similar to your character. And the way we spoke about that is, what are your core values you have in life?
Yeah.
So how do you figure, out your identity? It's difficult. Well, what are the values? Do you value companionship? Do you value, you know, freedom? Do you value productivity? Whatever it is. I think figuring out what your values are can really tie in with your identity and your character, because that way you know, if you're going against something that's against your values, you can see it. It's black and white. It's not for you. But if you haven't named your values and you haven't thought about it, then it can be this messy, dark relationship where you're like, is this me? Is this for me? I don't know. Am I happy? Am I not? Is this what life is supposed to be?
So true.
But if you can name and tame them, you can name your values and figure what, okay, I prioritize this. yours are already like, you know, curiosity, I think, curiosity and like people.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. So if you go, if you get into a job that doesn't have those things, you can see it clear as day. That's not for you.
100%. And you mentioned it, like if this was a bucket and you, and some people, I think they fill it up with just all different things and they're not sure, which is sand. They just fill it up with sand, bro. Filling up with sand, all the different specks that represent different things. But I think if you get the rocks, which are the big core things, put them in first, you can fit the sand around it. It's important. Right. They're important for you for life, but the rocks are the main stability for your relationships and who you are as a person.
Yeah.
So for me, I emptied all that out, went back to the start, put my rocks in there. Yeah.
What are your like 5, 6 core most important values?
Family for me. Yeah, family for me. Faith for me. So having an understanding that I'm, there's something greater than me. That's a big one for me. Always learning is always a big rock for me. I always say that I have to have someone to hold me accountable, which is always a rock that I, that's important. So I'm always touchable by like something, I'm human, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm a feeling person, so emotions are big for me. So if I feel something, it's true. I have to feel those emotions about how I feel. I think that's important for me.
But I mean, you can see, if you imagine if you're 21 and you're doing this thing, and you're figuring out what your values are, because that's going to set you up for life.
Yeah.
If you're in a toxic relationship and they're going against your values, you can see it. That's not for you.
And write it on a rock, like actually get rocks. And I'm a big sort of like, I did this experiment where I wrote with my left hand because I had some childhood trauma, and I wrote on a left hand a letter to myself that I was proud of myself as a kid. Oh, actually, now I'm right hand dominant. Very powerful psychotherapy, very powerful. Wow. And it, I've honestly, in that moment, felt I was transponded to being a little kid.
Right.
I literally felt like I was sitting at a school desk trying to write a letter to myself. I walked out crying.
Yeah, wow.
Was it beneficial to keep me going as a human? Yes. Am I proud of who I am? 100%. Do I get proud of other people when they succeed all the time now?
Yeah, wow.
If I feel like that I'm, you know, pushing that around, I always just sort of remeasure that self and can go back to that person and go, yeah, actually, I am happy with who I am and happy with how I behave.
That's awesome, that's man. Yeah, find your character. What are your values? Like, focus on your character. Yeah. Don't worry about external success. No point in being a public success if you're a private failure.
100%.
Kind of key messages. But yeah, Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show. Thanks, if anyone wants to get in contact with you, listen to your medical podcast. If anyone is interested in medicine or nursing, whatever, anything in the medical industry, I highly recommend checking out your podcast because obviously it's a bit more niche than mine. You've got a specific topic, you go into a lot of cool stuff, interview some cool people.
Yep.
Where's the best place to go for that?
Just go to Instagram. That's where a lot of my stuff is. You can find my podcast on like all the streaming services, EDGM.
Yeah.
And you can find me on Instagram, EDGM_podcast, where you can, I love to write back to you. I love to hear stories about people that are working as paramedics, junior doctors, nurses. I love to interact because that's just how we get better. Even like interview stuff or like doing exams. I love sort of talking to people.
Yeah.
So if you want to reach out, I love to, or even you might be suitable to come on and chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's just
guys, reach out. Like, I mean, I always encourage my listeners to reach out to me and the guests. Like, normally, I usually get a few people reach out to my guests, but you know, out of the thousands of people who listen to it, I probably get less than 0.5%.
Yep,
probably less than 0.5% reach out, which is fine. But it's like, do it. How long does it take?
100%.
And I think I always love to see your messages. I'm sure you love to see the messages. So if you made it this far into the show, definitely reach out to either me or Ben. But Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, boys. Cheers. You.